Chapter 32. The Flying Dutchman, still carrying too much velocity, zipped past a Kristang data relay at the edge of a star system controlled by the Black Trees clan. Our speed took us in and out of the relay's effective range so quickly, Skippy had less than 40 seconds to query the thing for the data we wanted. "Did you get the info we needed?" I asked anxiously.
Okay, interesting," Skippy mumbled.
"This is good. Oh, this is good. That little spark we kindled on Kobamek has grown into a wildfire, Joe. Every Kristang clan and star system, every planet and asteroid outpost has been pulled into the war. The Theranin have given up trying to contain the conflict. They are now hoping the war burns itself out quickly. That is unlikely to happen. I expect the war has at least 2 or 3 years of major fighting before it shakes out so the major clans begin making new power-sharing arrangements. Then, typically, there is disorganized fighting flaring up for another 3 to 5 years before the political situation dies back down to the normal, peacetime level of hostility."
"Great. Great," I said impatiently, wanting him to get to the point instead of giving me a lesson in Kristang political science. "Is there a chance a Kristang clan would have any incentive to retrieve the White Wind clan leaders from Earth?"
"No. No way, dude. The White Wind clan and their assets have been split up and absorbed by 3 different clans. Effectively, the White Wind no longer exists. The Kristang are no threat to Earth, now or in the foreseeable future."
"Outstanding!"
I pumped a fist in the air, and Chotek offered me a high five. Yes, he looked awkward doing it, but that made the gesture extra special. High fives went all around the bridge, CIC, and out into the passageway. When the cheers died down, I asked the next question, the one I was dreading. The Kristang were no threat to Earth, but this would be a perfect opportunity for karma to get revenge against me. "Are there any external threats to Earth that you know about? We know you are not happy about monkeys having nukes. I mean, threats from other species."
"Not that I know of, Joe."
I flashed a grin back to Chotek and was raising an arm to offer my boss a congratulatory handshake when Skippy interrupted me. "Of course, if there were a threat by another species like the Theranin, we wouldn't find out about it from an obsolete Kristang data relay."
"Crap.
Joe, I do not want to harsh your buzz. In my opinion, the Theranin have no interest in Earth, and right now they are so beat up by the Gyraptha, those little green MFers don't have the time or resources to even think about sending a ship all the way to your backwater homeworld. I do not think we have to worry about them. And in case you think we may be having a communications glitch, let me say clearly that I do not know of or anticipate any external threat to Earth within the next, say, 20 years.
"Oh, thank God."
I let the profound relief wash over me. 20 years. We could bring our Franken ship to Earth for a long stay and not rush about sending out another expedition.
Cheeseburgers.
When we got back to Earth, I would be feasting on cheeseburgers cooked on a backyard grill or over a campfire. Damn, I needed a vacation. A month. No, 3 solid months of leave time when I could be an anonymous army sergeant with no responsibilities. Someone else could worry about saving the world for a change. "All right. I know we need to stop by a gas giant planet to get fuel, pump up the tires, and maybe buy an air freshener to hang off the mirror. But then we are going straight back to Earth."
"Colonel, I believe a celebration is in order," Chotek declared with a broad smile he had rarely demonstrated.
No doubt he was also anticipating getting back to Earth to adulation and the immense respect of his peers. Assuming his peers ignored the, you know, whole incident of Hans Chotek, the career diplomat, planning and sparking an alien civil war, that might make dinner party conversation awkward for him for a while.
"If Major Sims has,
Skippy cleared his throat.
"Before you monkeys break out the champagne, there is one more teensy-weensy thing we maybe should do on our way back to Earth."
"Ah, crap. Damn it. I knew my life could never be that easy.
What the hell is it this time, Skippy?"
"Well, part of the data I downloaded is about a top-secret Kristang operation that was launched before the Civil War started. Major Perkins and her team apparently got caught up in it, and we should probably help them before we fly back to Earth."
"Shit! Damn it! Perkins can't keep out of trouble for, like, 5 freaking minutes!"
I exploded in frustration.
"It's been over a year since Shauna blew up that island, Joe, and it's not the fault of Perkins. She's doing her job."
Okay, fine.
I threw up my hands and looked back guiltily at Chotek, knowing he was silently blaming me for delaying a triumphant return to Earth.
"We can stop by Paradise on the way to Earth."
"Oh, we could do that, Joe," Skippy cautioned me. "Except for one thing."
"What's that?"
"Major Perkins and her team are not on Paradise."
You have been listening to Zero Hour, Book 5 of Expeditionary Force, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by Craig Allenson. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.